You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio. Hey, folks, let me tell you real quick, too, about my friends at Otter Creek Farm. I just had somebody today ask me. They said, hey, can we take corporate retreats there? Yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. It's a great opportunity for that. I mean, the facilities are amazing. If you want an intimate little side room with a view of the grounds and good meals, you can do that. Or you can have the big clubhouse by the pool with big leather chairs and everything you would want and pool table. And then you've also got plenty of other spots, including the large dining hall. So for huge groups, you got wedding venue out there. You can do some hunting while you're out there. They will cook for you while you're there, and I don't mean like cook a little bit. I mean like they have chefs that are incredible. Folks, Otter Creek Farm is an oasis in North Alabama, one of the best destination sites in the region. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you look at their website, ottercreekfarmstead.com, you'll quickly see why they were featured in Garden and Gun magazine and why they had Donald Trump Jr. choose to come stay there and do a hunt not long ago. That's right. I'm just telling you, it's worth it. ottercreekfarmstead.com. Go check it out. So I got an update here for you. So you may recall, we've been talking about Afghanistan. I'm going to keep this topic in the front of my list of things to talk about. I am not letting this go away, all right? There's a great personal stake and investment in this for me as a veteran of Afghanistan and knowing so many others who are also. But then there's also just the fact that it's just freaking wrong. And for the Biden administration to pretend that it's all over with and nothing is going on, nothing to see here, let's look over here. Let's talk about vaccines. Oh, let's look over here. Let's talk about, no, don't talk about the border. Let's look over here and talk. Afghanistan is still going on, and it's awful. Well, we have private groups there right now, too, who are literally getting things done. One of them is being coordinated in part by people here in Alabama, and I've been coordinating with them directly just to stay in touch and to assist as I can, and I won't describe in what way, but just know that I've been assisting as well I can. And they finally, today, after days of delays, they were excited to report that they finally had one of their first flights get out late last week. It was a mix of U.S. citizens, green card holders, and special immigration visas, and they flew out of Mazar-e Sharif in the northern part of the country, and that was a great thing. They said, as you can imagine, I'm reading the series of texts that they sent me. As you can imagine, it was a nightmare trying to maneuver the administrative maze of the State Department. Yes, I imagine it was. The Taliban and the local airline. Eventually, we were able to get everyone on the same page. The person sending me the text says, I was not privy to all the negotiations, but I'm fairly certain we had to pay a, quote, travel tax to the Taliban to allow the planes to leave, meaning the good old slip me some money and I will let you go. By the way, the Pashto word for that the Taliban would be using is bakshish. Bakshish. Bakshish basically means a little something to help grease the skids, if you know what I mean. And it says in the text message, it goes on to say, there were days when we were cleared to leave, and then some Taliban leader would get wind of our operation and have the airport shut down for several more days. Another instance, the State Department made us redo our flight manifest because they wanted it in their format. God almighty. Yeah, so that took another day or two. And yet on another occasion, an employee at the local airline was accepting bribes to allow strangers to get on our manifest. But he said the irony was that particular case, the Taliban got wind of it and exercised some of their own local justice. Said, I can't tell you how strange it is to have the Taliban then protecting the integrity of our flight manifest. Yeah, that is weird. He goes on to talk about the fact that they did have one individual who they couldn't get on the flight who was on IV meds and the Taliban wouldn't let him on. No, the airline wouldn't let him on. But they did get a nine-month pregnant female accepted onto the flight despite some tense moments at the check-in. I'm continuing to read here. He says, we left Kabul about 3 weeks ago, moved all of our operations north to Mazar-e Sharif. In addition to get these flights and future flights out, we have had to successfully move families across the northern and eastern borders. And he goes on to thank all those folks who have been involved and that their support has been made this very possible. And he says this, and I thought it was profound. He says, I cannot tell you, and he sent some pictures. He said, I cannot tell you how appreciative they were as they boarded the planes. And as I've said before, while we were in Afghanistan for 20 years, the most powerful product we exported to them was freedom. They enjoyed the freedom we provided. And like the rest of the other countries the U.S. military has had an extended stay in, the freedom that we provide is addicting. And these people have no intention of giving it up. And that freedom, and you can see it on their faces. And he says, we have more planes we're trying to get out, as with the first two. And there are administrative hurdles ahead of us, but we're not giving up on the mission. Thank you again for your support. So literally, folks, what we're talking about here is private entities are making it happen. And that's just one of the groups. But it's amazing, too, what the people in Afghanistan are now having to put up with. Women especially, and I started to say some of this last week, and I don't remember how far I got into the topic, but women especially are already being subjected to incredible hardships and incredible fear and incredible persecution under the Taliban because they are second-class citizens, literally second-class citizens in their own country now. The reporting is that the Taliban is already implementing Sharia law, which puts women into that second-class status. And, well, I tell you what, Copper, go ahead and get clip two ready. I'm not sure I'll use it. She's very hard to understand. But clip two, give me the high sign when you're ready on that. So clip two, let me give some background on this. Clip two is a young woman who is has joint citizenship with between Iraq and with Afghanistan and the U.S. And this young woman is struggling now because she has been left behind. And in her words, in kind of her very heavily accented English, she says, "America broke me." She goes on to talk about the fact that she and her family literally were trying to get out. She's a U.S. citizen with a passport. She and 18 family members went to the airport because they were told they were all approved for exit. And she went to the airport when the bomb went off, and her 18 family members were all killed in the bombing. So, Copper, I tell you what, we're going to try. It's a little hard to understand her because not only does she have a thick accent, but she also began crying during the interview. But, Copper, let's go ahead and try and play clip two.
Jen, your best lifeline here.
This Jen is the best lifeline for me because they say, I call them so many times. I email them. They just take the phone. They say, I'm sorry, we can't do anything for you. And that was the answer. And I said, what's going on with you guys? I'm a U.S. citizen. Okay, just left in United States. Here, I just lose a lot of family. And
Jen, I can see
Dana, why she's not able to tell you.
Go ahead, Jen.
What she's not able to tell you at the moment is she went back to get married. And she got the letter from the U.S. Embassy telling her and her family that they could get into HKIA back when it was still open. And they went there, and 18 members of her family were killed in the bombing.
That's heartbreaking. And the lady, the American woman who you heard there at the end, yeah, I know Copper is rough, but the 18 members were killed. The lady who was describing that at the end is with one of the private groups that is working to get people like this woman out. And here she is, she's a U.S. citizen, and she can't get out with her own passport to come back to the country from which she's already gone through all the steps to become a U.S. citizen. Much like my friend Hamid, his family members are still there, several of which are U.S. citizens who had gone home to visit family when the Taliban just, you know, swarmed the country and took it over and immediately found themselves trapped and unable to get out because the Biden administration did not have any plan whatsoever for taking care of these people. So, Copper, go ahead and get clip one ready. I want to talk about what's happening now. So, in the meantime, not only have we abandoned what some people are letting me, let me know when you're ready with clip one, Copper, but the Biden administration having left all of these Americans behind, we are now being told, but we're going to continue to do operations and make sure that we have full exercise of our over the horizon capability. What does that mean? That means we're way far away. We can't see anything. We'll fly in and take care of it. Oh, yeah, just like they flew in with that Reaper drone to take out ISIS-K, ISIS-K. And they came in to take ISIS-K down. And what did they do? They wound up killing 7 children and 3 adults, civilians, none of whom were ISIS-related. And after they told the world that what they had was what General Milley, and we're going to talk a lot about Milley coming up here, what General Milley announced to the world from the Pentagon's briefing room was a, quote, righteous strike. We now find out it wasn't any close to righteous. It had nothing to do with ISIS-K. And what it had to do with was determined to get a target and launch on it. Well, I'll tell you what. I think, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and take the time for this. Copper, go ahead. This is Congressman Waltz in our clip one. Congressman Waltz, a former Green Beret, a veteran in Afghanistan himself, he says that basically over-the-horizon capability is a joke because we have lost every ability to see the targets because of the Biden administration's own actions. Play clip one, Copper.
Over the horizon counterterrorism. I've been saying this for months. You may as well call it over the rainbow counterterrorism. It's a talking point. You have to have multiple forms of intelligence to pinpoint the bad guys and be sure that's who's in your crosshair before you take a strike. You have to have people on the ground. You have to have sensors. You have to have signal intelligence, all to double check your work. And we don't have any of that anymore. None of that. It's all been pulled out. When we pulled the troops out, the intelligence left, the contractors left, our diplomats left, and now America is a lot less safe. You have no bases in the region, no local allies on the ground, and now you have an army's worth of terrorist equipment for them to hit the United States again. This cancer is going to spread, and it will follow us home, and sending drones from thousands of miles away isn't going to be good enough.
Amazing. All right, as we head to that short break that we usually have to take right around now anyway, consider this. We had a base there. We had intelligence capability there. We had the ability to do aerial surveillance, signals intelligence, human intelligence, and we lost every single bit of it when the Biden administration's feckless policies, led by a beta male who takes vacations every other weekend, totally destroyed our ability to see what has now become a terrorist nation as opposed to a terrorist group. In the meantime, we're launching Reaper drones to take out children and their parents. It's a messed up situation, folks. We're going to talk about it more when I come back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative. Yeah, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WBNN. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And yes, we do have t-shirts that say that. We're going to work out a plan to get those to you here shortly. But hey, listen, before I go too much further, got to tell you about my friends at ZLA Solutions. ZLA Solutions, I've known these folks for a long time. ZLA is great at getting people back to work. That's what they do. And so if you're looking for a job, just go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. They've got jobs posted all over Alabama, good ones. If you're an employer looking to fill out the ranks of your workforce, go to ZLAUSA.com. They can do the recruiting. They can do the background checks, the drug testing if necessary, all of it. They can have you a workforce put in place at the shake of a hat. I'm just telling you, they're good at what they do. ZLA Solutions. They like to say, we don't make it, we just make it better. At ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. All right, folks, so listen, I've been talking about Afghanistan this half hour. We had the clip played earlier of the lady who, the very idea, can you imagine this? She's a U.S. citizen. Sure, she's got dual citizenship, but she has a U.S. passport. She is one of us. She came here and went through the immigration process and literally got her citizenship and went back to get married and got trapped by the Taliban rush. And then really, truthfully, trapped by the Biden exit, the Biden debacle. And her comment is, the Biden administration broke me. And she says that she would constantly call the State Department numbers that she's given to call, and they would say, we can't help you. And she finally said in the clip, if you heard it, what is wrong with you people? I'm a U.S. citizen. Well, right now she's working with one of the independent groups. And then I went on to talk about this over-the-horizon capability that is going to allegedly allow us to still take care of terrorists And that's just hogwash, because if you, I love what Congressman Matt Waltz said. He said over the horizon capability ought to be called over the rainbow. He said because it's a pipe dream. And the idea that we've lost all of our capabilities. Well, Biden, more and more we're finding out, was determined just to get out at all costs, at any cost, at the cost of American lives, apparently. And we're seeing right now, and I've got a clip on this, clip 9, Copper. Is that okay, or is it clip 9 ready to go? Yes, it is. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Clip 9, Senator Sullivan is talking about the fact that it's very apparent that Biden ignored military advice in Afghanistan. So let's play that before I run out of time. Go ahead and play clip 9.
Is that it is becoming increasingly clear that the military advice to President Biden last spring was to not go to zero troops in the country. He rejected that. But really, more importantly, in some ways, is that some of the military advice also predicted the chaos that we're seeing right now. He rejected that. President Biden rejected that, even though he was forewarned. And again, I think this foreign policy fiasco, given that he was given this advice, these predictions of chaos, is something that President Biden solely owns.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. He owns it. He owns it. And yet he's trying hard not to talk about it. How in the world do we have an administration that won't even talk about the fact that Americans are trapped there? How do we have an administration that has yet to see a single resignation from one of the most epically failed foreign policy / military policy debacles in the Afghan withdrawal? How do we have an administration? I mean, that no one's resigned yet. No one. No one's even been held account. Now, they say they're going to launch investigations. Well, in the meantime, we lost 13 service members, countless numbers of Afghan citizens who were outside the gate when the bombing took place. And then on top of that, we also have the fact that the drone strike that was launched in retaliation, a righteous strike, said General Milley, a righteous strike against ISIS-K, says the president, ISIS-K. And they launch it, and all they did was kill innocent children and their parents. And no one is being held account. When we come back from this next break, I'm going to have Casey Wardinsky calling in, who's running for Congress, who spent time as an assistant deputy secretary of the Army on manpower and reserve affairs. He had interactions with General Milley that are now written about nationally, where he says that General Milley, he had a pattern of behavior. And I'm questioning now whether Milley should be leaving this job, like, soon. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, and live online at rightsideradio.org. Just click Listen Live. We'll be right back after this break with Casey Wardinsky. You're going to want to hear that interview. Talk to you soon.